Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Miami Heat should never change who they are. They have an identity. They know what it is. They stick to it. They ride or die with the guys in that locker room, with Eric Spoelstra, of course, with Pat Riley. And man, the formula may not be pretty. In fact, sometimes it may be downright ugly. And it leaves them exposed. It definitely does. And yet they're relentless. They're tenacious. They never, never give up, go away, wave the white flag. That's not who they are, which is why they're so good coming back from double figures down in the fourth quarter. They've got a lot of the intangibles that come with having chemistry, right? They believe in each other. They care about each other. And it's easy to say that. I know winning has a lot to do with it, but this team stuck together even when they weren't winning. And that's the part that's impressive. They stuck together when this type of adversity would have derailed a lot of other teams. Philadelphia 76ers, it would have derailed them. The Heat are the opposite of soft. And they do not believe in doing anything the easy way. Now, I will say Jimmy Butler, always awesome. But I do believe Caleb Martin should be the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. But a great point made by Sean Grandy when he joined us last hour from Boston. One of the elements of this Heat team is they don't care. They just want to win. Individual awards and honors mean a whole lot of nothing. They just want to win. And so congratulations to them. Eric Spoelstra, he embodies that. And they stayed confident. There's no panic. There's no fear. There's disappointment and regret probably, but eyes on the prize, baby. Eyes on the prize. And now they will take on the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. So of the four teams in hoops and hockey that are into the championship series, three of the four have never tasted that sweet nectar of the championship being the last team standing. So we'll have a first-time Stanley Cup winner in hockey, and we'll potentially have a first-time winner in hoops, though that would only be the Denver side of it. But Miami's a great story. As an 8 seed, you can say they're not a true 8 seed. I don't even know what that means anymore. Who cares? You are what your record says you are. They could have been a 7 seed, but they spit the bit in the first game of the play-in tournament, which kind of got them to shake whatever malaise off, to understand that sense of urgency. You screw around and you're done. You screw around one more time and you're done. The first game of the play-in tournament was the Heat mulligan. That was it. That was the last chance they had to screw up. And maybe it put them on notice. Maybe it helped them to lock in. Were they perfect all the way through? No, but they are who they are. That's what their regular season was all about. Offense comes and goes. The defense, the effort, the heart, the desire, the work. They put in the work. That remains. So Jimmy Butler, not quite ready to think about the Denver Nuggets, though he was asked in his postgame press conference about getting ready for the NBA Finals.
I got 2 days to figure that out. We have 2 days to figure that out before game one. Oh, my God. Y'all saw that? Damn, Bumblebee. So we will lock in on them.
Oh, okay. Derailed by a bumblebee, not derailed by a game seven in Boston against the number two seed on their own court at a raucous crowd, but derailed by a bumblebee.
Oh, my God. Y'all saw that? Damn, bumblebee.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did yard work on Monday. Why is that significant? Are you ready? Cleansing breath before I opened up the shed. It was the first time I'd opened up the shed since the incident. You know the incident. If you missed it last week, I had to scoop 2 dead squirrels and their nests out of my shed.
Oh my God.
Exactly. The far corner of the shed where they were all protected and squirreled away. Yes, I meant that. Underneath my tool stand. Yeah, they can't just die out in the open where I can reach them easily. Nope. Squirrels had to die in the far corner of my shed, behind all my tools, on top of the tool stand, the lower layer, or the lower level. Big old thickness. Partly made of a box that mysteriously disappeared out of my shed over the winter time. Just it disappeared. It disintegrated. There was nothing left of the box. The squirrels had taken it. Yeah, they can't just die where I can reach them. No, they got to go back in the corner and die together like they're Romeo and Juliet or something.
Talk about insult to injury.
Seriously. So last week, I was just minding my own business, trying to spread some Grub X on my grass, and instead spent an hour plus cleaning out the shed, scooping up dead squirrels with a snow shovel. Ugh. And then, of course, the trash bag and the flap caved in, and the squirrel fell on the ground, and I had to, I screamed. I said a swear word. I had to apologize to my neighbors. It was just a big mess. So then you can imagine my anxiety over opening up the shed again on Monday because I didn't know what I would find. Did the other squirrels in the neighborhood see what happened and launch an all-out assault on my shed? Did they return, the family of these squirrels? They were waiting and watching until I buried the squirrels in a trash bag. And then they were going to come in and have a proper funeral service for them. I wasn't sure if the new squirrels, you know how it is. House is vacated. I mean, somebody's got to move into the house. Even after the squirrels died, maybe some rival squirrels in the neighborhood thought, good, now we can move into the shed.
You think there were some squatters on the premises?
Well, they definitely were squatters. I didn't give them permission to live in my shed.
I mean, a different set of squatters waiting for that initial set of...
I was nervous that they saw, these other squirrels in the neighborhood saw that I cleaned everything out. Maybe they thought I was cleaning out the shed for them.
Yeah, you made it easy for them.
And so I was freaked out. I'm not kidding. I opened up the door of the shed, not sure what I should find. Yeah, I should have done that before I opened the door just to scare out any squatting squirrels. Squatting squirrels.
Gotta watch out for those.
You're gonna say that a few times fast, you squatting squirrels. That's my new insult, my favorite insult. You squatting squirrel, you. Call Bob that and see what happens. So, I was worried about squatting squirrels. And I opened up the door slowly. Not sure what I would find. In fact, I inspected the corner, the tool stand again to be sure that I didn't miss any dead squirrels. see whether or not the nest had been rebuilt. That'd be pretty impressive that they rebuilt a nest like that in 4 days, especially if they were dead. But I don't know. Maybe they put off some type of a scent and so other animals in the neighborhood know that the squirrels are gone, or I don't know.
I think bees do something like that.
Bumblebees?
One of the species, genres of bees.
Genres? A genre of bees?
Yeah, one of those.
Not a genus?
One of the genuses, species.
A genre?
A genre works.
No, it does not work. Here you are again, making things up. What are you trying to be like me? You're trying to be like me, making things up.
I saw this video, it was last night actually, where a giant killer hornet,
How giant?
Pretty big.
As like, big as your fist?
About, yeah. Compared to like your average backyard yellow jacket, like maybe close to 30, 40, 50 of him multiplied. So it was a big killer hornet, and it stung or it bit like another yellow jacket, and then that proceeded to alert all the other yellow jackets, who then just attacked this killer hornet and just got rid of it real quick. So I don't know, maybe it's something like that where it sends off some sort of...
In other words, I'm the killer hornet in this scenario, and the squirrels are sending out the alarm, and all the squirrels are going to come attack me?
I don't know, because you didn't kill the squirrel, you know?
I did not kill the squirrels.
So you're not the source of their anger.
I disposed of them so that they could have a proper burial of sorts.
Yeah, right. If anything, squirrels should look up to you because you clean their space. You took care of them properly.
It's not their space. Thank you very much.
No, it's not.
It's my space. Thank you. So all that to say, if there were dead squirrels in the shed, they were somewhere else because I didn't see them and didn't smell them. And I'd much rather talk about live animals, can we? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good to hear from so many of you over Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for finding us. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. Speaking of animals, Jay, I need you to go to our show Twitter, and you're going to watch this with me even while we are here on the air. In fact, you might be able to play the audio of it, though I suspect we don't want to do it without listening to it. So I open, you know how Twitter has... two categories now. They will suggest accounts and tweets that you should look at. Mm-hmm. It's called For You, and it's on the left. And when you first open up Twitter, maybe it's just me, but it's always set to For You. And so I'm getting all these tweets from people that I don't even follow, accounts I don't even follow. But they think I'll be interested in it based on who I do follow. It's a little annoying. What's that called? The anagram? No.
The algorithm.
Algorithm. Yeah. Thank you. The algorithm is annoying because they're not giving me what I have signed up for. They're giving me what they think I want. It's an attempt to brainwash me. It's mind control games.
And they're listening.
It's a little bit like the Jedi, but it doesn't work because I immediately go to following. Okay. But here's something that did pop up. Every now and then I forget. And so I start perusing the tweets that are for me. I opened up our show account this afternoon so I could do a little social media work, if you will. And I saw this video. It's a 90-second video. If you page down, it's whales playing around a man and a woman who are on a surfboard out in the water, or a paddleboard. They're sitting on it. I couldn't tell if it was a paddleboard or a surfboard. But they're not in the middle of the ocean because you can see the land around them. But no joke, these whales are right next to their paddleboard. It looks like there are two, and they start putting on a show. Not only are they using the blowholes, of course, but they're laying sideways, so their giant eyes are looking out of the water. And then toward the end of the video, they're hanging out with their fins up in the air. They're dancing and putting on a show. Whales are very smart, as we know. Similar to dolphins. And so this video, if you guys have not seen this video, I'm actually going to retweet it from our show account, After Hours CBS. I shared it in the middle of the day on Monday, so I can understand a lot of people were not on their social. But it has been viewed 11.2 million times. So check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Or you can, you know what, I'll even retweet it from my account, A-Law Radio. Jay, are you watching it? Now, here's my question, and maybe we can ask people to weigh in. Here's my question. Are those whales real? Is this a real video or is it somehow photoshopped? I mean, I think the reaction from the couple that's, they're speaking Espanol. The reaction from the couple that's on the surfboard or paddleboard seems pretty authentic to me. And the way they're turning and looking all around them, they're startled at first. And then it appears as though they're enjoying the show. But do you think it's fake? As you watch it, do you think it's fake?
Initial reaction, I think it's genuine. I think it's real. I think.
Why can't this happen to me? I want to have that happen to me.
It's pretty remarkable.
I mean, it is.
The shadows of like the whale, the tail of the whale under the water, everything seems to match up. I don't see anything sketchy about it. Just initially, the first 20, 30 seconds.
Isn't that astounding? They could reach out and touch those whales. Now, I wouldn't recommend it because you might lose your balance and fall off in the water. These are not killer whales. We're not talking orcas here. But wow. They got a show of a lifetime. And then, as I say, toward the end of this 90-second video, one of the whales is just hanging out with his fin up in the air like he's putting on a show. He's dancing for him, like synchronized swimming.
Saying just, goodbye. Thanks for checking me out.
Isn't that phenomenal?
That's incredible.
Would you want to be on the paddleboard?
I would, yeah.
Me too.
I would.
Absolutely, I would.
That'd be really cool.
Why can't this be me?
There's people who would spend thousands of dollars for that experience. Not even just to watch it from a boat even, too, like that close. To be on a paddleboard, like
no
in
joke.
The water with them.
In fact, Bob just said to me, I have to show him this video. Bob just said to me on Monday, I want to go whale watching.
Huh.
It's kind of out of the blue. It's like, okay. I love whales. I'd be fine to go. I've never been on a whale watching excursion, but I've seen them in boats, and I went on a cruise to Alaska, and there were whales all around the ship. So I have seen them in the wild, and it's remarkable.
Yeah.
This is next level. So if you're listening to me and you have not seen this video, which I'm sure there's a lot of you who have not, I just retweeted it. Please watch it and tell me if you think it's authentic. Because I do believe it is, and I'm jealous. Jay's still watching it. He can't get over it.
Also, in this video, go to the last, like, 10 or so seconds and look at the clouds.
Look at the clouds. Oh, yeah, the clouds are beautiful.
Everything is just remarkable about this whole video.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think that it's fake? Because it's so perfect, do you think that it's fake?
I still don't. I think it's just one of those moments where the universe just aligned for these people. In this video.
The universe did, not the whales?
No, the whales too. They aligned.
Okay, so the universe called the whales and the whales aligned?
That's it.
Is that how it happens?
Sometimes.
Not the fact that they're out in the whales' territory? The whales are in the ocean and they're in the ocean
too? The clouds, the colors of the sky, everything's too perfect.
So you don't think it's real?
No, I do think it's real. I think it's just one of the, like, everything just clicked in this moment. I think it's genuine. I really do think it's real.
Okay. So you guys, please go check it out. So the date is May 28th, 2023, which would have been Sunday. Right, Sunday. Would have been Sunday. And yeah, I don't know how I missed it, but in this moment, it's already been viewed 11.2 million times. So please go to my Twitter and see if you think it's real. That's what I'm asking. Because I want to believe it's real. Let's just say it was in a tank. And the whole thing is computer generated. The background is computer generated. And this happened in a tank. Would you be so upset? You know how I'd be as upset as I was when Steph Curry did that fake video of making the full court shots? I don't remember. Was it for Under Armour or something else?
Yeah.
It was. Oh, no. It was an SI shoot, wasn't it?
It was
some type of media company. Some kind of a media. And they faked it. And he laughed like it was no big thing. I thought it was real, and he laughed because he knew it was fake.
I felt a little duped on that one, I will say.
I was very duped. If this is not real and it's happening in, say, a tank like they would use, I don't know, at SeaWorld, right? Like, think Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, actually, the later movies were. That was that dinosaur that came out of the water. Mm-hmm. That was in a tank, right? That wasn't out in the middle of the ocean. So this could be in a tank.
It could. They could easily just green screen that background.
Oh,
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
I don't have much faith in the internet left, but if this video proves to be fake, that might just be the end of it.
Okay, so please go and check it out because I need to know what you all think. Again, it's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. I just retweeted it, and you'll see because the video is, the thumbnail for the video has a whale nose, a whale snout sticking out of the water, and there's a man who's looking back at him. So I think these are real whales putting on a show, but you have to tell me what you think. All right?
There's one part that's I just noticed in the first 10 seconds that's a little raises a little warning. His feet are still in the water. Would you leave your legs dangling in there?
I don't know. It's a whale. They don't bite people.
Oh, I don't know. I'd be so afraid. Initially, I'd just be like, what is that?
Whales are not known to bite people.
I don't know.
Again, these are not kill. Yes, if your name is Jonah and you're in the Bible. These are not killer whales, though. So I wish I knew where it was. All I know is that it was a couple days ago, and they're speaking Espanol. So that's what I know. Okay, so please go watch it and tell me what you think. Because, you know, I need to know. Inquiring minds need to know. Plus, if it is real, freaking awesome. Absolutely awesome, and I'm jealous. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Finals are here, and the biggest assist is happening off the court. BetQL has the best sportsbook deals, bonus offers, and exclusive access to risk-free bets, giving you more bang for your basketball buck. Visit BetQL to unlock special offers and finish the season on a winning note. No matter which team you're rolling with, BetQL's bonus offers can be the alley to your sports betting oop. Go to BetQL.com/hoops to take advantage of these exclusive offers. That's BetQL.com/hoops.
Soroka on the mound for the first time in a big league uniform since August 3rd, 2020. That was over 1,000 days ago. Tonight, his first appearance since then, coming off the Achilles tendon tear twice. That'll be beat into the ground, taken on the big hop over there at the corner by Riley. Throws over, gets his man, one down. Good start for Soroka here in the bottom of the first inning.
Getting back out there and feeling the adrenaline, seeing some of my best friends behind me, and you know, I had a lot of fun out there. Obviously, that one inning, you know, if you could do it again, you might do it a little differently, but that's not baseball. Just got back out there and started making pitches again, and glad that I bounced back and still went out there for the sixth and threw another clean inning out there. So it was good all in all. Just, yeah, a couple of bad pitches here and there in the fifth, and they made me pay.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Michael Soroka as he returns to a Major League Baseball diamond and to the mound on the Braves radio network. You hear it. There were long days of rehabbing. And as I heard more about his story, I thought about Klay Thompson and the number of times that Klay Thompson, who first tore an ACL and then blew an Achilles and missed 2.5 years away from the Warriors, the number of times that Klay talked about the dark days. The number of times that Klay mentioned all those long hours by himself or with a trainer in order to get back to the game he loved, but that it was all worth it when he finally was able to step on the court and shoot a basketball and run up and down and play defense. So here is Michael Soroka, similar situation, a pair of Achilles tears, pitching for the first time in 2+ years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Someone counted, not me, 1,030 days. 1,030 days. That's actually closer to 3 years. Because he was the Braves 2020 opening day starter. And if you think about the shortened season because of the pandemic, and so a lot more time away from baseball than he ever anticipated. But he was able to run out to the mound and take the ball First time since August 3rd, 2020. And if you're wondering, he, yes, retired the side on 13 pitches and got standing O's. So welcome back to both Liam Hendricks and Michael Soroka. What did keep him going, even through those dark days and long hours of rehab and recovery?
The people that believed in me have always said I was going to be back here for the people that believed in me, not the ones that said I couldn't. So, you know, those people are my dad, training staff here, and a group I work with in Arizona, and a lot of people that have helped me along the way. You know, there's been some people in my corner for a long, long time that have stuck by me, and, you know, it's a day for them, too. So, yeah, those were the people that kept me going and kept me to this day right here.
It's really cool. And I think that not just this individual story of making it all the way back, of hitting rock bottom for his physical health, not just once but twice, and continuing to work and making it all the way back. So it's not just a story for Michael Soroka, not just his own individual arc. It's also about the other people that he inspires. And while sports is just a microcosm of real life, how often do we look at athletes and we're blown away by the adversity they face, the ways that they heal physically most of the time, but emotionally, failure, disappointment, for all the world to see. But think about Jaylen Brown. His exact words after the Celtics loss: I failed. We failed. We let down the entire city of Boston. I mean, he's carrying that right now. But this is the life of a professional athlete. Sometimes it comes in the way of injuries. Sometimes it comes in the way of failure. You gotta find that road to recovery. And for Soroka, he just kept going. And it's the people that believed in him. And now they're going to be people who see his story, watch him pitch, know what he went through, hear more about what he went through, and believe, okay, I can do that too. And yeah, you can imagine, not just the fans, but teammates like Sean Murphy, thrilled for Soroka.
I mean, that was awesome. Just for Mike to get back out on the mound, pitch a big league game. I mean, I thought the results were great too. He had one bad inning, made just a couple mistakes, but at the end of the day, that was awesome for him. And I hope he's happy with that, and he can build off that.
No place to go but up for both Liam and Mike. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So you all are responding to the whale video. I think it's real. I think it's authentic. I don't think it's doctored, even in these days of we can do anything on the computer. You know, a lot of what we see in movies now is computer generated. It's not real. At the very least, it's not set where you think it's set. And the stunts or the action, they're not actually, the sequences are not actually taking place where you think they are, especially when it comes to crazy stunts. Now, some of them are filmed on location, but not all. And you can often tell animals, some of that computer generated, not real. And I understand that when you're talking about series or sequences with wild animals, that could be a little treacherous. In this case, I think the video of the whales and the two people on the surfboard is authentic. And I'm asking you to judge. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A couple of you responding. Jay says, this made me think of Free Willy. It's definitely real. But he says, my luck, they would flip my raft over. That's not a big deal, though. A whale's not going to eat you just because you fell off your raft. If the whale wanted to hurt you, he could, A, bump the raft. Well, it's a surfboard. Bump the surfboard. Take a chunk out of your surfboard. Take a chunk out of you. Just dive over the top of you and drown you. The whales were clearly just as curious as the people were, right? I mean, I think that's the case with animals. A lot of times, dolphins are the same way, right? They just want to see what's going on.
I would be pretty startled if the whale were to bump me off of my surfboard. Where, like, if it, like, you know, grazed by because it's big and, like, I felt a jostle and maybe something. But if I got the sense that it came up to me from under and bumped me off, I don't know how calm I would be in that situation.
Well, okay, but what does it do? What good does it do you to start screaming or to freak out?
I guess, yeah, you're not really going to hurt it if you punch it, but you could try.
The whale's not going to hurt you.
If he bumps you? I don't know. Who knows?
The whales don't eat people for the most part. I mean, whales, they're gentle giants. We're not talking about orcas here.
Yeah, have you seen that new study?
Okay.
The new thing with the
orcas? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about these whales. It's a group of whales, a school of whales, and they're just hanging out. They were showing off. One of them's he's just dancing with his fin up in the air like he's synchronized swimming.
No, yeah, they seem friendly, this particular group of whales. But I'm just saying, if I were in that situation and the whale were to come up and bump me,
I mean, he's probably like a bull in a china shop. Even though the ocean is large, you're in his space.
I don't know.
No need to freak out. It could just be an accident. Also, I'm watching NBA TV, and once again, it turns to Noticias. I mean, what are we doing here? Okay, so Craig says no way this is real, so he does not believe it's real. But another tweet, it's real. I've been kayaking the ocean before and had whales, dolphins, and sharks come in to investigate. It's pretty amazing to experience it firsthand. All right, so we're asking you to check out this video, A-Law Radio, whales and two humans interacting in the water.
I'm curious why he says no way it's real, because if I should look out for something.
Because the whales are extremely close. Extremely close.
That's his reasoning? I mean, I don't know. I need more than that.
You do?
I need, like, editing, something with an edit glitch or something like that.
All right, so check out the video and let me know if you think it's real. Also, Liam Hendricks' video as he enters the field from the bullpen to make his first appearance since beating cancer. Glad to have you with us. Plenty of baseball that we could still get to. But the big deal is that both the Miami Heat and the Vegas Golden Knights are on to the championship series. Miami kicking history in the teeth, if you will. What about Jaylen Brown? That's a question that will be answered by the Celtics. I think knee-jerk right now because of his terrible Game 7 performance, especially late. Well, yeah, there's the overreaction of no way should he get a max contract. The Celtics and Brad Stevens will have to make that decision. And what about a coaching change? So some of those questions answered post-game following this near 20-point loss. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Eric White for Jaylen Brown.
Don't mind two attackers.
Butler knocks it away from Jaylen. Lead pass for Jimmy Butler. Two-hand slam. Timeout, Joe Mazzulla. Miami has its largest lead as Jaylen Brown commits his seventh turnover of Game 7. Hauser returns to the Jaylen in the corner against Bam. Jaylen switches to the left hand, exposes the ball, and commits his eighth turnover of Game 7. Ooh. A nightmare that Jaylen cannot wake up from.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a rough night for one Jaylen Brown. We talked to Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, along with Cedric Maxwell, about an hour and 45 minutes ago. And I asked him, what in the world with Jaylen Brown? And he said, hey, Jaylen had a bad game. The challenge, of course, is that Jaylen is also potentially in line for a Supermax extension with the Boston Celtics. And the knee-jerk reaction from many fans is that he doesn't deserve it based on this game, based on the fact that the Celtics have come up short these last couple years. I say, why not look at the glass as though it's half full, which is that with two coaches that had never coached before in Ime Udoka and Joe Mazzulla, they go to the NBA. Well, they go to the NBA Finals with Ime, and they get within a game of the NBA Finals under Joe. this tandem clearly forms a winning core along with Marcus Smart. Now, Al Horford is back, his second tour of duty with the Celtics. They've tried to add some other pieces. Malcolm Brogdon wasn't available in this game seven, or he didn't play. I actually heard he was available. He didn't play. Rob Williams has been in a varying role for the Celtics based on the situation. We know Derek White has become a starter for them and one of their best defending guards. Gosh, not to mention now a piece of Boston sports history. So I kind of think that if you take Jaylen Brown out of the equation, this team is not where they are today. He's a great leader as well, but that's not knee-jerk. That's more thoughtful. That's looking at the big picture instead of what just happened. And I know my Twitter was flooded with people wanting the Celtics to get rid of Jaylen immediately after 8 turnovers in Game 7. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jaylen was pretty torn up following this game. One of the things he says is, "I failed." And he was asked about his future in Boston.
"I expected to win today and move on. And that's what my focus was on. That's what my focus has been on. We failed. I failed. And it's hard to think about anything else right now, to be honest. We'll cross that bridge when we get there."
"It's extremely important. You know, he's one of the best players in this league. You know, plays both ends of the ball and, you know, still relatively young. So, and he's accomplished a lot so far in his career. So I think it's extremely important."
Jason Tatum is 25. Feels like he's been around a lot longer than his age would indicate. Jaylen Brown's 26, I believe. Those two guys, where are you going to find them? If you get rid of Jaylen Brown, where are you going to find a running mate, so to speak, another star to go along with Jason Tatum? It's not as easy as it sounds. You've got a core that works. And if we believe what they've said to us the last week or so, well, they care about one another. They stayed together despite being in an 0-3 hole. And there's Jason Tatum stumping for Jaylen. He's got to be in town. He's got to be here. Well, then what about, and that question will be answered by Brad Stevens. What about the question of Joe Mazzulla? He takes over for Ime Udoka just days before training camp starts late last summer. And the team gets all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I asked Sean Grandy about the coaching matchup, Eric Spoelstra, Joe Mazzulla. What's your reaction to people who would say Spoelstra outcoached Mazzulla? Well, he said surely he did. He's a Hall of Famer, but, and considering Mazzulla's experience, but is that the reason the Celtics lost the series? I guess some would put it at his feet. But he took over without a real offseason, took over under extraordinary circumstances, and still, the team was able to get within a stone's throw of the NBA Finals again. And so, yeah, it's not just Jaylen Brown. It's also the question of Joe Mazzulla. If you believe those who are reacting in the wake of Game 7, Brown, not so much.
"I give Joe my respect. Tough situation to be in. You know, and he took it. And he took it head on and ran with it. You know, we had two rookie head coaches in the last 2 years, and Joe picking up from, you know, Ime as an interim, starting off, and then progressing as being the head coach, just fully took, you know, that challenge on and led us to this point, you know. And that's a tough position for a guy to be in. It's a tough position for a team to be in, you know, coming off of a finals run. But we didn't make any excuses, and I'm not making any excuses now. We came up short. But I still give my respect to our coaching staff and that group that we had on the floor."
"It's one of the best locker rooms I've been a part of. The guys cared. They gave it everything they had. It's the most important thing to take from this. Obviously, we didn't achieve our goal. We didn't win, which was our goal. So we failed in that regard. But it's not because the guys didn't have a sense of togetherness, character, you know, and just who they are as people.
Did you guys happen to catch Joe Mazzulla on one of the mic'd up segments? It was in a timeout. Oh, no, I take it back. I lied. Not timeout. Now I remember. It was pregame locker room. Were you watching TNT pregame, Jay?
No, I haven't seen this.
So the in fact, I'm pretty sure it's out there on social, but I actually heard it at the time. Now, I was thinking it was live, and then I reconsidered that. Why would they have a live microphone in a Celtics locker room? Then I thought there's no way it could have been live. So that meant if it wasn't a live snippet they were carrying from the locker room, that they actually did hear Joe Mazzulla drop the F-bomb on TV and let it go anyway. Did you hear this? So he was talking to the team before the game, and he actually referred to the Game 6 situation in which he said, or he was talking about, you know, we may need 47 minutes and 59 and a half seconds tonight, right? We may need 48 minutes. We may need 53 minutes. So he was essentially saying, whatever it is that we need, you got to give it everything you got. And then he said, and you better bleeping smile. You better freaking smile, but didn't use freaking. And so it went live over TNT. They didn't bleep it. I heard it and I thought, did someone not hear what he just said? Because again, I don't think they had him mic'd up live in the Celtics locker room. I'm assuming they just pulled that from, you know, a pregame brouhaha. And so they allowed it to go over the air. Have you heard it?
No, I haven't heard it yet, but I get
so
what
check
happened.
Out yeah. Check out the Hoop Central Twitter account because they shared it. But I'm telling you, it was live on TNT. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the stat is 0-151. Meaning no team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in an NBA playoff series and been able to advance. All right, back to the whale video. Tom says, you never know these days, but it seems real to me. Just the way the people were reacting to them, but who knows for sure. Another tweet, simply real. Keith says real. So some of you believe the whale video is real. Others are saying it's contrived, it's fake. Check it out on my Twitter. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.